so busy that it held 160, no less, hand laundries. There were a few grocery stores, gift stores. It had over 26 restaurants at one point. And you know, there were fraternity orders. So it's sort of like the YMCA, right, for Chinese individuals. And so, you know, many have asked the question, because it was so busy and it attracted folks, not just Chinese folks from here in Pittsburgh, but from the tri-state area, from, you know, West Virginia, you know, parts of Ohio. And so you know, where we were sitting, you know, as a city, the confluence of the three rivers really made it a great space for importing lots of these items from the, well, at the time we said the Orient, right, from Asia. And so it became sort of like a specialty, right, in the space. Well, what happened was that, you know, through history, there were exclusionary laws specifically prohibiting the Chinese from coming further into the United States. That had a lot to do with the labor fears, you know, of this country. At the time, the United States was entering a recession. And unfortunately, when those sorts of pressure points happen in U.S. history, we have a tendency to point to and to the most vulnerable in our community. And for the Chinese laborers at the time, it was so much easier to pick them out of the crowd, as we say. They were the forever foreigner, no matter how long they were going to stay. And so lots of the citizens here decided that they were too much competition.
So, it must be, I didn't mean to interrupt, because we were further west, perhaps, than New York or Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the reasons that folks weren't coming further into the interior of the U.S.?
Yeah. Actually, you know, the Chinese really didn't come by that way, right? So from Asia, from China, they actually went to the California, Oregon, Washington coast first, the mm-hmm. West Coast. And so what happened was that there was a lot of discrimination, violence, you know, to the point to the Chinese and other Asian populations. And so they decided to head east for more economic opportunity and a rest from that kind of violence. The particular group we're thinking about, though, came actually from the New Orleans area.
Huh.
They had finished some work out there. And the cutlery factory that I'm speaking of, they were in the midst of a strike. And so the board members there decided they needed to take a look at how to continue operations. And so they decided to call upon their contacts actually in San Francisco, who told them, you know, wrote back and said, no, not our folks here, but I have a contact for you. And here it is, if you'd like. And that's how that started. But I will tell you one other main reason why the Chinese never recovered. And that is because of urban renewal. So this idea that, you know, in the 20s, 30s, and 40s now, you know, there was a need to look into our cities, the inner cities, and see how we can put investment into spaces to liven it up. Well, one of the things that the city had decided was to build the Boulevard of the Allies. Some of you have written on that highway, right? Driven on that mm-hmm. highway. So if you take a look the next time you're there, and I hope it's today, and you look to the side, you will see a red pagoda building. And you'll notice, boy, that's really close to the edge of that highway. And the reason for that is because the Boulevard of the Allies, you know, the ramp for that truly, literally, was built right into the heart of Chinatown. So if you look up from 2nd Street, our court place, if you looked up, you will notice that that boulevard that highway is directly above you. Well, to do that, they had to tear down buildings, and those buildings were part of Chinatown.
Now,
so that combined with the exclusionary laws, you know, preventing Chinese, you know, in general from coming into the United States, really then begins the demise. We were entering World War II, and so the healthy younger, you know, men signed up, you know, to serve this country, to prove their patriotism. And the other is that, you know, the older set went to work in the munitions factories. So there really wasn't many left then, right, to carry on business in Chinatown. Now, there were some families left by 1956, 64. We know that there were still a few handfuls of families that were there after, you know, the boulevard was built. What happens next is these families are displaced, as we say, right? They're sort of dispersed through the city and really never had a chance to come back together again. So if we look at New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, the reason why those Chinatowns continue to thrive is because you have the steady flow of immigrants coming in. So where are then these immigrants that are here in Pittsburgh? And so I would say to you that organically, you know, these spots where the immigrants, particularly from Asia and China, and even more particularly, are gathering are in neighborhoods like Squirrel Hill, Oakland. We're seeing a healthy group of them coming up in North Hills area as well. But, you know, here in our county, we have over, you know, 23,000 Chinese. That's just Chinese Americans here and residents. We all, you know, if we looked at the whole Asian American Pacific Islander community here, and that's looking at the whole spectrum of us, we're looking at over 50,000 in
wow.
the area.
Now, today, I want to be sure we just have another minute or so. Today at 1 o'clock, there will be a celebration and a dedication of Pittsburgh's historic Chinatown. It starts at 1, 3rd Avenue between Grant and Ross Streets. It's free. You'll get a chance to learn more about the history and to see those two original buildings. And I'm sure you would like people, regardless of heritage, to show up and learn more about the history you've just shared with us.
Well, Larry, I'm so glad you pointed that out. I want to tell you today is about all of us, right? And so I want to share with you that the celebration, while it's about a historic point in our city, this particular day is about fun, it's about family, it's about festivities, there is music, there's cultural performances, there's good food, we have bubble tea that is there for purchase, as well as a concert. So it's a Chinatown concert by three artists, rap artists that are here. They heard about what we're doing here with Pittsburgh Chinatown, and they decided to add us to their tour. And so we're so excited to welcome Jason Chu and Alan Z and MC Ting Budong, who is a bilingual, Mandarin-speaking, African-American Fulbright scholar who's here to share with us. Yeah. So lots of fun and activities and crafts for the little ones, too.
Well, that sounds like great fun. And we've linked to the OCA Pittsburgh website. And this is today, April 16th. I'm so glad you're here with us, Marianne. We should do this more often. And here's to a great event today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care. What a great event. I hope you'll get a chance to enjoy that. Thanks to Marion Leanne of OCA Pittsburgh, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUPFM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, 91.7 WNJR Washington, 91.7 WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM McKeesport, and slbradio.org/radio. Adam Steffi at the Saturday Light Brigade. Hello to Stu in McCandless. Last hour, we were talking about Wilbur Wright and Orville Wright. Catherine Wright was another sibling. Sister Catherine Wright, and Stu points out that she was also a critical part of the team that made everything come together for the Wright siblings.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
We are seeking youth between the ages of 16 and 22 for a podcast about personalized and equitable learning. Participating students receive a monetary stipend. The time commitment is about 90 minutes with recording sessions on one or two mutually agreeable dates in late April or early May. We especially want to be sure we hear from a wide variety of people, students in traditional high school and college settings, youth who are or were in foster care, youth whose educational experiences include credit recovery or GED programs, youth in apprenticeship or vocational programs, hybrid learning, community college, youth who have gone straight to the workforce with or without graduating from high school. All qualify as long as you're between the ages of 16 and 22. Learn more at slbradio.org/apply. Applications are due April 19th, 2022. Now it's time to give you a chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge. It's time for the Sound Hound to appear and give you a chance to see if you can come up with the correct answer. Here is the sound today. Well, first, is the sound hound there? There he is. There he is. And let's get the sound from him now. There he is. And here is the sound. (412) 200-5975. 412-200-5975. Here it is again. 412-200-5975. We'll give the Sound Hound a little snack. And take a listen to the Kitchen Dwellers. The song is called Paradise Valley.
Take me by the hand, lead me away from this land. Down and out my woman ran, up and left my hands. With another man as I understand. I headed north of the antelope, found somewhere I can roam. Sitting down, loading, patch my bones. But you won't ever see me digging for my paradise. And as I walk through this valley, oh, I'll make no compromise in this state. You won't ever see Sam keeps looking my way. Make provisions for the end of days. All the G-men on the highway, they keep coming back for me.
Are the days that used to be. The saddest words I ever heard were words of parting, when you said, sweetheart, remember me. Remember me when the candle lights are gleaming. Remember me at the close of a long, long day. It would be so sweet when all alone I'm dreaming, just to know you still remember me. You told me once that you were mine, alone forever, and I was yours till the end of eternity. But all those vows are broken now, and we will never be the same, except in memory. Remember me when the candle lights are gleaming. Remember me at the close of a long, long day. It would be so sweet when all alone I'm dreaming, just to know you still remember me. And a love more bold and free. But in the end, fair weather friends may break your heart, dear. If they do, sweetheart, remember me. Remember me when the candle lights are gleaming. Remember me at the close of a long, long day. It would be so sweet when all alone I'm dreaming, just to know you still remember me. Just to know you still remember me.
The Saturday Light Brigade, that is John Prine. And Remember Me. And and the kitchen dwellers who we've been featuring this morning. The Montana-based group did Paradise Valley. Carla is going to join us in just a moment with the correct answer. The Sound Hound brought us this. And you can guess if you would like to now at 412-200-5975. Bruce thought it might be a firework, like one of those snakes. Not that. Caden thought it could be clapping and ripping. Good morning, Caden. Or maybe like shuffling a deck of cards. That's from Caden's mom. John and Carrick was very close. He said it sounds like opening a coconut. Tom thought it might be opening a cardboard container of buttermilk biscuits. Larry in Elwood City thought that too. The biscuits opening up and exploding. Tommy in Virginia got the correct answer. Russ thought it might be opening a trash can and pouring in everything that's been swept up. Zach thought it might be splitting firewood. Jeff thinks it sounds like breaking off a stalk of celery and then eating it. Annie just came up with the correct answer. And Charlie had it, and so did Carla. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. This is seasonal. You could take this off the Seder plate, or you could take this, find it if hidden by the Easter body. You came up with it. What is it?
I think it's cracking one very large egg, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I wish I had an egg that size. I could make one heck of an egg salad with just one egg. It's a huge egg.
Well, you have the correct answer. I forget, I was just reading, I can't remember who wrote this now, but they were saying they always liked egg salad better when it was made from Easter eggs when they were a kid.
My mother used to say that.
And all dyed and beautiful, but Angie and Marv's just got that, the peeling of an egg. And Caden said good morning back, which is nice to know. And Rich got it too, Rich in Edinburgh. I think I identified the correct answer. Bill in Homer City thought it might be opening a soft drink. I can hear that. Do you have any plans for the holiday weekend?
Yes. In fact, I am involved in an international concert for Ukraine. And it's today, it's on internet radio if anybody wants to participate. It's on several outlets, but the big one is Mushroom FM. And it's Mushroom. If you go to mushroomfm.org or bring it up on your TuneIn app, it starts at 2 o'clock, and it's going through at least, it'll probably be at least 10 hours long, and it's to benefit the Ukraine blind. I've been totally blind since birth, and so I know what challenges you go through when you're blind. And can you imagine being in Ukraine and being blind and losing everything, or being a refugee? And it's the only type of a charity that I know or thing that is being done specifically for them. And I submitted a poem that I wrote called Ukraine, and I superimposed it on top of the Ukraine national anthem, which has a very mournful sort of a haunting melody. In fact, you might want to play it for your listeners if you can find it. It is quite a melody. I don't know if I made the cut, but it starts at 2, and there are I'm no good at math. There are at least 100. See, I'm bad at math. There goes an extra zero. 100 blind musicians, performers on there. So I hope I made the cut.
And so, well, it must be really very disorienting and disturbing to have the world change so rapidly as it's changing. I mean, it's hard enough as it is if you can't see, but I just can't imagine everything that's happening now and to be coping with that.
Yes, and I just feel it's just, you know, the blindness community from several different countries. I don't know, there might be 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't know. It's an international. This man started this initiative single-handedly. I think this radio station might be in Australia. I'm not sure. But they've gotten lots of nations and just mobilized the world's blind. And I'm telling everybody I know, I'm hoping that some sightling folk would want to participate in it too, because it is such a worthwhile cause. And there's nobody else that I know of doing anything specifically for that cause. And I think of all the people even being made blind by the war. Too,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, and you know, whether or not my piece makes it, you know, it's a worthwhile cause to participate in. I worked very hard on the piece.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, and I'll try to tune in. I would really like to hear it. So that's at 2 o'clock on Mushroom Radio, available.
Mushroom FM.
Mushroom FM.
And if you look it up, you go to mushroomfm.org, and you'll see the We Are With You concert for Ukraine. And you can bring it up on TuneIn or your app. And, you know, I just sent in an MP3 file of this, and it was just, you know, at some point I could even share it with you.
I'd love to hear it. You could send it, email it to us so we can take a listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Carla.
Well, thank you, and I just want to wish everybody a blessed Easter and Passover and whatever you celebrate, and this is a very special time of year, and so I'm going to be spending it alone because all my family's gone, but I won't be spending it alone because I'll be spending at least today with people from different countries virtually. So.
Well, thanks for spending some of it with us. Take care.
Yes, and keep up the good work, please.
Thanks, Carla. Take care.
I know.
Bye-bye. Well, congratulations to you. If you knew we were looking for an Easter egg, that's what the Sound Hound brought today. The sound of an Easter egg being a hard-boiled egg being opened up. And let's continue our Easter egg hunt by welcoming Ayana Jones, who is with us from Sankofa Village Community Garden and Farms. Today is the Ostera Spring Equinox Egg Hunt. Hello, Ayana. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm thrilled that you're with us today. Let's talk a little bit about Sankofa first and this wonderful community that's blossomed in Homewood.
Yes. Well, Sankofa, we started out with a 15-bed garden. Now we have moved this year. Last year, actually, we moved, but we moved a half a block up the street to a much larger space where we now have 36 raised beds.
Wow.
And we are able to move in a direction that nobody ever dreamed of. This is moving along by the grace of God for real, because we never envisioned anything as big as what we're doing.
Well, I was going to say, this is, I know it's a community effort, but it's a vision you had. I know you realized that there has not been access to fresh produce close by to folks living in a Homewood. It's been at least 50 years or so, right? 40, 50 years?
Absolutely. It's been 40 years since there's been a grocery store, a major retail grocery store in this area, in the Homewood area. And when we had one, we were getting substandard food. We were getting a food that was just leaving the expiration date, and they would send it to us. So even though there was a few stores in the community, we still weren't getting the quality of food that we deserved.
No, so, and everybody needs to eat, and everybody should have access to healthy food. And It's ridiculous, the conditions that you had to deal with. So you decided to do something about it.
Of course. We decided that we were going to start a community garden. And we were going to involve adults who really wanted to grow food. And that never worked out. The adults were not conducive to growing food. Everybody had their own idea, couldn't come together on much. Hmm. So we put the garden together anyhow, and we decided to use raised beds. That was a major contention among people. They wanted to go straight in the ground. Well, you can't go straight in the ground in Pittsburgh in many places because the soil has such a high content of lead.
Hmm.
So we started out. We were hoping that people would catch on, and they didn't. So we decided that we would teach the children to grow food. And that's when we really took off. We had young people from all over the city of Pittsburgh through the Learn and Earn program that's sponsored by the city of Pittsburgh come to our community garden, and we taught them to grow food. Now, the first thing we had to do, we had to dispel the myth of enslavement and tilling the soil.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, now where did this issue come from? And because our schools don't start Black history anywhere but the beginning of enslavement, and in fact, not only do they start there, they stay there, we had to include some serious Black history lessons to bring our children on board. Once we did that, we had a listening audience, a captivated listening audience. And our young people picked it up. 5 young people in college that we sent to college. They're taking up urban agriculture. We partnered with Chatham University and their sustainability department. We also have a partnership with Bloomsburg University, because we now have a part of our garden is dedicated to children with autism. Children with autism look at a garden totally different. Their needs are totally different when you talk about engaging them in participating with a raised garden. So we had the opportunity to receive some funding. We developed a program called Word is Bond Bike Program. Now, you go through your community and our community, and you see all these healthy bike starts, but you need a credit card to ride those bikes. And our community does not readily give our young people a credit card for a bike.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so this is great. You not only, so young people can get to the garden a little bit easier, and also can just get a ride in a healthy way because you've created the ability for them to get a bike without any cost. This is a beautiful thing.
The cost is this. You come to the garden, you work so many hours in the garden, and we take those hours that you work in the garden and use them as collateral for you to ride a bike.
I see.
Now, Word is Bond comes in where you bring the bike back when you say you're going to bring it back because your word is bond. You feel what I'm saying?
I do.
So now the kids are entrusted with something that makes them responsible for their behavior. And that's bringing back the bike.
Well,
now, a couple times we've had young people who didn't bring the bike back. I just go to their house. I already know who they are. I go to their house. I talk to their mother. I talk to their grandmother. And then we never have any problem with them bringing the bike back again.
Yeah.
So it also helps us build relationships with people in the community that we ordinarily would not touch.
Well, this is a great idea all around, and I hope people are going to come wide open to the whole community. If you've not been in Homewood in a while, or if you've never been there, today's a good day to show up. Sankofa Village Community Garden and Farms. It's a spring equinox egg hunt, and it starts at 10. I know you're rushing this morning. You've got to get ready to get things going. But it gets underway in just 90 minutes. So anything else, Ayana, that you'd like to mention? We just have a couple seconds.
Well, I'd like to mention that we thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure.
We welcome everybody. Please come and bring your family. It's a family-friendly event. And there's free food. Everything is free. All you have to do is show up.
Susquehanna Street to North Brushton, right?
Right, exactly. If you put it in your GPS at 501 Brushton Avenue, it'll bring you straight to us.
Sounds good. Thank you, and here's to a good day. Thanks so much for being with us. That is Ayana Jones, who's got a busy day ahead of her at the Ostera Spring Equinox Egg Hunt at Sankofa Village. Thank you, Ayana. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, you're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Nobody's got the time of day it takes for loving you. Nobody's got as bad as me, just look at me, I'm grinning like.
That is Gina Furtado, the Gina Furtado Project here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Thanks for being with us. We'll celebrate birthdays in about 20 minutes or so. We're going to celebrate something else right now. It is spring. It's Easter, Passover, Ramadan. So much happening. A positive time, Earth Week. And we were just talking about the Sankofa Village Community Garden and Farms. We're going to go from Homewood to Belts Hoover now and welcome two sisters, Teray and Renice Kelly. They're founders of the Soil Sisters Plant Nursery. which has an interesting mission. But let's meet them first. Good morning,
good
sisters.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank
you for having us. I don't know if I've ever had two adult sisters on the air before. How far apart? I'm not going to ask you your ages, but how far apart are you in age?
2 years.
Yes.
So have you always? Years. You probably have always gotten along real well.
Somewhat. Somewhat. She's the Bernice is the older sister, so me, I've always, you know, just having an older sister, she's definitely been a great role model, and so I've mimicked her through the years as we grew up, and for her, that was annoying at first, you know, and but as we grew older and grew common interest, our bond became very tight, and mm-hmm. we're kind of inseparable now.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Where did you two grow up?
We grew up in Belsouver.
So growing up in Belsouver High School?
I went to Oliver.
Oliver.
Yeah, I went to Oliver as well. So we grew up in Belsouver, but if you know anything about the South Hills, the neighborhoods are very small. Like, you can literally cross the street and be in the next neighborhood.
Yeah, you're in Allentown,
exactly.
Or you go
yeah.
a little more, you're in Mount Oliver.
Exactly.
Yes. Knoxville.
So we grew up in Belsouver. We've lived in Knoxville as
Allentown.
Well. In Allentown as well. Right now, we live in Mount Oliver, so we are very true and true to the South Hills.
So what prompted you to do this venture? Well, first, let's talk about it. Soil yeah. Sisters, what do you do?
Yes, so Soil Sisters Plant Nursery is our little baby, and we are focusing on vegetables, herbs, beneficial flower seedlings. We grow them from seed. We are currently operating in our basement, but we're building a nursery in Belsouver. So that's where the focus of Belsouver comes in, right there in that area. On Gehring Avenue, we'll be building a greenhouse where we'll be producing more seedlings so that folks can grow food.
And the land that we have actually in Belsouver that we're building, the one thing I always love to highlight is that we're actually building this on a family-owned lot. It was our grandparents' house. They bought the house in about the 50s, and the house burnt down in 2010. My grandmother, she still owns the land, and we inherited the land through her. And she just said, you know, make sure you take care of this. It's very important to our family. We always held family gatherings there. You know, all the events were held there, all the family accolades, a lot of photos and artwork burnt on that land, and so it's very special to our family, and we felt that we can give that to our community and provide something beneficial on that land.
Yeah, that's really sacred ground, and to derive something positive mm-hmm. after the tragedy of fire. Was anybody hurt?
No.
Thank goodness. Now, people don't think of Belsouver, I think, as an agricultural mm-hmm. area.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you managed to do this? We all garden, but you're talking something a little bit of a bigger scale, right?
Yeah. Well, we, it's funny, I did a project in fifth grade. My Miss James, she still keeps in contact with me. We had to do a project on Belsouver, Knoxville, and things, and we learned that Belsouver actually really was an agricultural-based community. There was a lot of farming going on. There were families who had huge gardens and grew and produced vegetables and sold them at, you know, farmers market. There was even a family that owned a store on Climax that grew vegetables and sold them out of the store when we were growing up.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
What, did he go door-to-door selling vegetables?
Well, no. At that time, it was really kind of like, I guess, in an era of victory gardens, right? So they were somewhat just kind of growing to sustain their families and, you know, sharing amongst other neighbors and things of that sort. But
because there were, like, singing vegetable men that would go around
right.
from door-to-door selling vegetables.
This is, Mr. Belsouver was, like, riding horses and stuff. Like, this is when the streets were lower down in the ground and the houses were up. You had to use letters to get to the houses. There were some amazing pictures we seen going through that project. Yeah.
So your goal was to get this greenhouse going.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you've got you're already planning and gardening.
Doing things. Right. Yeah, we couldn't just wait for the nursery. So we really just kind of used what we had, which was our basement, started growing and producing those things. And you know, in the downtime, whenever you aren't always growing stuff, we got great support and was hearing from the community that, you know, sometimes they weren't able to actually support or grow in a capacity that they like. So we started to do a garden supply giveaway, just kind of giving away all sorts of garden things that we can collect between our job and other people who were willing to donate and support that mission. And even have done a summer camp for youth. So we've really just been trying to bring in people from all areas to connect with growing food and appreciate not just the, you know, harvesting part of it, but the creativity that comes with it. You know, the kids really get to see that food can be creative. You can use it for all sorts of things. Like, we're dyeing fabrics with herbs, and we're making little grow houses with cover crop seeds that are fast growing, so they get to see the little houses sprout. And just, you know, watching the germination process of a seed and wearing it as a necklace and just all sorts of things. So we've been really just trying to tap into everything possible.
What drives you to do this work?
Well, how we kind of got into it, it definitely was Renice. She went to school at Bidwell for horticulture, and she's a mother of a 13-year-old, my niece, and just noticing how we grew up and our grandparents on both sides coming from the South, having coming from agriculture backgrounds. And so when they came up here, they both had gardens, and we were just introduced to that and just living off the land. And we were like, you know, things now, people are like kind of eating out of the box, or, you know, everything's kind of on the go and no one's really kind of eating fresh vegetables and fruit. So once she started to work for Grow Pittsburgh, and I actually worked for the University of Pittsburgh, and I became a groundskeeper, so I tended the land there. We noticed that there was a lot of community gardens, and how could we support the community gardens? And we figured that by creating a nursery that produced the seedlings, we would be able to provide more option and an array of varieties to the city of Pittsburgh. And with that, we wanted to make sure that we had heirloom and organic, you know, seedlings, and just so people are able to harvest those seeds and you know, replant them next year. So that was really our goal and our mission behind that, is just to make sure that we were able to give the city more options, not only in the South Hills, but just throughout.
Now, can folks come and visit you? I know you have a camp this summer that's going to be Saturdays and Sundays, mm-hmm. That's geared towards kids, but are your hours by appointment, or can people come in?
No, so we do pop-ups. We'll actually start those next week. We'll be at Everyday Cafe on the 22nd, April 22nd. And then on Saturday, the 23rd, Earth Day, we'll be in Swissville at Ecotone Renewables. They're doing a great project where they do liquid fertilizer. So we've been partnering with them, providing soil sauce for folks' plants. It's actually a great product.
Soil sauce.
Yeah,
it's a liquid fertilizer.
Yes, mm-hmm. You could send it's amazing. Yes.
I guess Miracle-Gro is kind of like liquid, but usually I don't think Miracle-Gro is organic.
Yeah, no, these are food scraps. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. They're converting compost from food into a liquid fertilizer. So.
Oh, what a good idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, and they're local, so.
Well, one of the things that always bothers me is how expensive it is to eat healthy foods.
Mm-hmm.
You were mentioning people eating out of a box.
Right.
And one of the reasons people do that is, I think, because it usually is cheaper.
Yeah.
And it is usually more convenient. People, mm-hmm. if people have to work two or three jobs to live, it becomes easier to go through a drive-through or to eat something out of a can or box. You're really helping to improve that situation by what you're doing. Can you talk a little bit about that? It's really a shame, but it's happening to all of us. We can't eat as healthy as we'd like, and it's affecting some people more than others.
Right, right. We can speak to that personally. Like, we've had family members who, you know, for the same exact reasons, just are working too often to, you know, pick, you know, go out and get those things. But when you're gardening, just having that access closer to you in your backyard, on your porch, in containers, giving yourself some supplemental fresh food as much as you can possibly go. Sometimes it's just one container with a tomato, another one with some lettuce, and then you here you got a salad. Now you can have a salad at least once a week. Even if you're doing small herbs, you know, like those dried herbs we often buy in a container, we can have those fresh. You can dry those out yourself, and now you have options. You can have it fresh or you can have it dried. So just teaching people how to, you know, look, consider those options and how to actually produce those so that they can do it is really our goal. And it's something that we're hoping folks will realize. It can be expensive when you're looking to go into the grocery store to buy it, but if you're growing it at home, buying a pack of seeds is way cheaper than going out to buy that every week.
Well, and this is going to become more and more important as we see the cost of food going up. And the work you're doing with kids, which I'd like to be sure we talk about, to give them a chance to understand where food actually comes from is critically important. So this summer you've got camps, right?
Yes.
And they're relatively inexpensive, and they're on the weekends. And how can folks best learn about these camps, and how old are the kids that can participate, or what age ranges are you looking for?
So our camp, we decided to make it a weekend-based camp because we definitely wanted to support other camps throughout the city as well, and also to be able to give those parents who may work a weekend job that flexibility, because a lot of camps are Monday through Friday.
That's smart.
You know, and so we decided that we wanted to have that option on the weekends, and our camp is 6 to 13 years old. We have two different groups, so it's 6 to 9, and then our second group is from 10 to 13, and you can get the information through our website, www.soilsistersplantnursery.com. We also post information on our website, on our social media sites, Facebook and Instagram. Facebook, SoilSistersPlantNursery.com, and SoilSisters412 on Instagram. That's how you can get all the information. We're about 25 to 30 kids is the range that we accept. Saturdays, we go on field trips, and then Sunday, we're more based in the building that we have at in Belle Silver, so we can pretty much talk about and highlight the things that we've learned while we were on our trips.
This is just an amazing program.
Yeah. I want to add one thing that's most exciting about being in Belle Silver is really getting to, you know, explore McKinley Park. We're so close to that park. So we walk from the building to McKinley, and we're hiking, and we're doing all sorts of things. So Parks Conservatory has been a great partnership that's been helping us, you know, try to keep activities on along the trail so that the kids can explore things. So we're looking to make some birdhouses perhaps this season. And so just really, really looking to, like, make Belle Silver that agricultural community we know.
By the way, if you're listening and wondering where Belle Silver is, it's about a stone's throw from Mount Washington.
Yes.
It's not that difficult to find if you look on a map. And you're hearing the Soil Sisters here at the Saturday Light Brigade, Rainice and Teray Kelly. And they have taken their ancestral lands in Belle Silver and created an urban farm that will become the site of a greenhouse. Are you thinking of hydroponics at all for the greenhouse?
No, well,
not with Soil Sisters,
not, yeah,
I guess.
Not immediately, but we love to, you know, we see Soil Sisters being an agriculture brand, but we'll tap into all of that hopefully in the future.
That seems like a big area, but you've got plenty to do.
There's so much more to come. I can't wait for you guys to get better updates.
Well, keep in touch
with us.
Let's mention, while we have just a few more seconds, how can people get in touch again?
Yes, so we can be reached through our website. We can get messages on there, and that's SoilSistersPlantNursery.com. We can also be reached on Facebook at Soil Sisters Plant Nursery, and our Instagram is SoilSisters412.
Just ask for the sister, and you can't go wrong, because Teray and Rainice
are really sisters.
They're really sisters. Really sisters. I can't imagine doing this with either of my brothers and getting along so well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
For being with us.
Nothing in the world I like better the bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them, a culinary bummer. I forget all about sweating and digging. Every time I go up, I pick me a big one. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What will I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. That's two loving homegrown tomatoes. You can go out to eat, yeah, that's for sure. But nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice now. Eat them with eggs, eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them in the side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, what will I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. That's two loving homegrown tomatoes. Well, if I had to change this life I lead, I'd be Johnny Tomato Seed. 'Cause I know what this country needs now. Homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see now. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden would be much better. I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What will I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. That's two loving homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What will I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. That's two loving homegrown tomatoes. That's two loving homegrown tomatoes. Forget about love, eat homegrown tomatoes.
That is the Homegrown Tomatoes Band here at the Saturday Light Brigade. And thanks again to the Soil Sisters for being with us. We're going to play Guess Who in just a few moments. Fred sent me a note. Fred is in Crescent. And he said, a little story about Easter eggs. I used to try to sneak a raw egg into the basket of boiled Easter eggs when we would be dyeing eggs. And it was always fun to see who got the raw Easter egg when they would crack it open. Let's take a look at birthdays. Lindsay celebrates today in McDonald. Janice from Tom, Ethan, Ryan, and Megan. And Janessa, our own Janessa Schuler, leaves a Basket and Robin's years today. Tomorrow we have Felicia of Denora, Carson of Blackridge, from your whole family, including Grandpa Jim in Blackridge, and Celia, Sam of Forest Hills, and Isabella of Squirrel Hill. On the 18th, we have David from Melanie, Michael, Tracy, Vince, Wes of Old Washington, Ohio, Brian from your family, and Jeff of Brentwood. April 19th, we have Julia, also Kate of McCandless, Amanda of Gibsonia, Dave Wachina of Kana, Quinn Essing from Robin, and Merritt Lay and Stephen. On April 20th, we have Justice of Longwood, Florida, from your family, Abigail of Miami, from Galadriel, Adam, Araliana, Isabella, Elsa, Leora, and Eamon, Abby of Swissvale, Connor of Upper St. Clair. And I see here Mr. Voss Skumas has a birthday coming up on the 20th. Also, Larry of Washington. I think Larry is in Florida now, formerly of Washington County. And Sophia of Bellevue also celebrates on the 20th. On the 21st, we have a few additional birthdays to mention. Ryan of Penn Hills, Shana of Conway from Lexi and Vincy, Quinn of Mount Lebanon, Sally from Mike, Amy of Rockville, Maryland, Diane of Finleyville from Sister Daphne, also Charlie, Sandy of Wilmington, North Carolina from David, Samantha, and Kate, and happy anniversary to Steve and Faith from Sun Sam. Finally, on April 22nd, we have Rusty from Elizabeth, Tatum from Grandpa Bill, Greg of Oakland, Jillian, Emily in O'Hara Township, and Melissa.
SLB announces listener birthdays at 8:55 every week. Would you like to surprise a friend or family member? Just send us their birthday information and address, and SLB will mention their birthday on the radio the Saturday of or before it occurs, and send a card too. To add your birthday or surprise a friend or family member by adding theirs, visit slbradio.org/birthdays or write to us at slb@slbradio.org or P.O. Box 100092, Pittsburgh, P.A., 15233.
Include the birthday person's address, and we will make sure they receive an official Saturday Light Brigade birthday card hand delivered by a uniformed representative of the United States government. It's a busy show today. Dan Kamen will be with us in our next hour. We're going to play Guess Who in just a moment. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK, McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, and SLBRadio.org/radio.
We're all in it together, every boy and every girl. We've all got to get it together, everybody in the world. I gave up on hating you just for hating me. I gave up on hating you a long time ago. I need you. You need me. And we're all in it. To get it right, we've all got to get it together. Everybody's on the same side.